We will get different political and geographical perspectives from four different lawmakers about legislative priorities for Wisconsin during this edition of our State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, January 13th. What a wonderful, icy, cold staycation I had last week. I canceled our planned trip to Minocqua because of the uncooperative weather and stayed home and cleaned the house and watched movies. Hope you had a good week. It's good to be back, though. Thanks to John Munson and Cynthia Schuster for filling in for me. We have a roundup of state lawmakers for you during our State Capitol Report this week. We will hear from four different guest lawmakers in four different segments, and we will welcome your questions and comments for all of them. But each show will be on for just 10 minutes or so, so call early with the state issue that matters most to you. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our first guest lawmaker is Todd Onstad, Democratic State Representative from Kenosha. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy, and thanks for the invitation to be on your show this morning.
Well, we're happy to have you with us, and I want to apologize for mistakenly identifying you earlier in the hour as a Republican. Should have known Kenosha is a Democratic territory, isn't it?
It certainly is, and I'm just glad to be able to correct that mistake.
Yeah, so what is the most important issue facing Wisconsin in 2014 in your perspective?
Well, certainly the most important issue that's facing Kenosha is Governor Walker's decision on the casino. Actually, it's gone beyond a casino. It's the Hard Rock Entertainment Complex that has actually been a proposal for a casino for about the last 15 years, and just within the last 6 months, the Hard Rock International has kind of signed on, and they would actually build a huge entertainment complex, approximately a billion dollar proposal, hiring somewhere in the neighborhood of 4,000 permanent jobs and 1,400 construction workers.
Governor Walker said it could be months before he decides on the Kenosha casino, maybe even after the election. What do you suppose the holdup is here?
Well, that's the billion-dollar question, Joy, and it's certainly one that that's on the mind of everybody in Kenosha County. And this has actually been a very bipartisan position that legislators both in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party have agreed upon, that this is the single most important economic development project to come along probably since the automobile industry. This would be huge for our area, and I just want to talk just about the construction trades for a second. As you may have heard, we have just recently landed the Amazon project and a couple of other significant manufacturing projects. So there are a handful of people saying, well, the construction workers are going to be busy enough as it is. But there was a recent trade analysis of construction work in the state of Wisconsin showing that the average on the average construction work went up 4% in the state of Wisconsin. In some areas, for example, Eau Claire, construction work went up 27%. But in Kenosha, we actually went down 1%. So we have a big hole to crawl out of, and certainly the casino project would help us do that.
Yeah. What about the concerns in Milwaukee and from the Potawatomi that the Kenosha casino would take jobs away from the Milwaukee casino?
Well, I think that the Menominee have been, in my opinion, unbelievably gracious in guaranteeing that any losses from if they were to happen, and in Milwaukee from the Kenosha project, that the Potawatomi would be reimbursed for that. And we really think that competition is kind of the key to success of capitalism itself. And to say that one casino is unable to compete against another casino just kind of flies in the face of reality, I think. You look at all the casinos in every gambling mecca, from Tunica to Las Vegas to Reno, there's certainly a dearth of competition in those areas.
Yeah, and what about critics who say casino jobs are not the kind of jobs Kenosha or any community needs?
Well, casino jobs are jobs that will sustain families. These are not minimum wage jobs. There are certainly good jobs in Milwaukee, and they would certainly be good jobs in Kenosha. These are jobs that people can be proud to go to work, provide for their families, pay their taxes, and be good citizens. There's certainly, in my opinion, I'm not a big gambler, but there's certainly a lot of people in our society that enjoy gambling. My father-in-law is on his way to Milwaukee right now to Pottawatomie to play the machines for a few hours and then hop on a bus and come back to Kenosha. It would certainly be nice if he didn't have to make that trip.
Do you have any questions for our guest, State Representative Todd Onstad? He stays with us for just a few more minutes. Do you, like him, want to see Governor Walker approve this Kenosha casino? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Or are there other issues that you would like to ask about? We welcome your questions and comments for all of our state lawmakers during this edition of our State Capitol Report. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, Representative Onstad, what do you expect? What do you expect from Governor Walker on the Kenosha Casino Project?
Well, I've talked to the governor personally about this project on three different occasions. And initially, I believe that the governor was probably leaning towards not approving this proposal. But I think that the Hard Rock decision, which certainly changes the nature of the project to an entertainment venue, to a convention center, it would make Kenosha a destination. As we all know, tourism plays a huge role in our economy in the state, and our economy in Kenosha, and I think that he's looking for a way to say yes. I certainly hope that that's the case. Now, my understanding is that there may have to be some arbitration in terms of some issues that are in the Pottawatomie Agreement, and I just hope that those issues get put front and center in front of an arbitrator as soon as possible so we can move this project forward.
Now, this is a decision that is in Governor Walker's hands right now. What else would you like to hear Governor Walker say in his State of the State address next week?
I would like to hear Governor Walker go back to an agenda that really creates an economy more based upon working people and those looking for work versus an economy that kind of leans towards people that are better off than most Wisconsinites. I think that we need to reemphasize education. You know, as soon as there was a time when there was a time to cut, education was the first to kind of get the axe, and when there was a surplus, they were kind of the last to get bailed out. So I think there needs to be a reemphasis on education. I think there needs to be a reemphasis on supporting the middle class.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the study that's going into whether or not Wisconsin should reduce or eliminate the income tax or reduce the property tax or increase the sales tax?
Well, these are complicated issues. I think that Governor Walker has kind of put out some trial balloons recently about the income tax. Each elimination has their own set of problems. If you were to eliminate the income tax, you of course would have to raise the most likely you would have to raise the sales tax. This would have particular problems for not only poor and working people, but also areas of the state, for example, Kenosha, next to Illinois, where people would be able to go across the border, do their shopping for a new car or even groceries, and pay a lot less sales tax. So I think that these are interesting topics, and I'm not so sure that he's going to have anything at the State of the State that will kind of show us what his roadmap is in terms of his plans in the second term, in the event that he was reelected. But I think that certainly tax policy is always one that we need to look at.
Bill in Lancaster is with us. Hello, Bill.
Hi. Your guest keeps continuing to dance around the fact that casinos are just absolutely terrible for society. They make their money through games of chance, taking money from the citizens through games of chance. They're just absolutely terrible for society, and I would oppose any casino anywhere in the state.
What about the social ills of casinos, Representative Onstead?
We know that X amount of money is going to be spent on gambling, and that amount of money is going to be spent either in Wisconsin or it's going to be spent in northern Illinois. And I would much rather have the income that is generated both for the city and the county of Kenosha, Wisconsin, and also for the school districts in Kenosha, and also the jobs that would be created in southeastern Wisconsin. Southeastern Wisconsin, as you may know, has some of the highest unemployment in the state. And this is not a question of morality or whether gambling is a good thing or a bad thing for society. We know that gambling is going to be done. It's either going to be done in a casino in northern Illinois or in Kenosha. And as I said earlier, this proposal is a lot bigger than just gambling. This is a entertainment venue. This is a convention center. This adds a whole new dimension in terms of why people might want to come to Kenosha.
We'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for being with us.
And thanks once again for the invitation.
Todd Onstad is a Democratic state representative from Kenosha. We'll welcome in another state representative from South Range, Nick Milroy, coming up after this break. This is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network. We are hearing about different legislative priorities from different lawmakers during this edition of our State Capitol Report. And our next guest lawmaker is Nick Milroy, a Democratic state representative from South Range, which is near Superior. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Certainly.
So what do you think the legislature's top priority should be this year?
Well, obviously, we're coming out of a recession here, and Wisconsin's really been lagging behind, and I think our top priority obviously has to be to try to get our economy back on track as fast as possible.
Yeah. Well, will the mine in northern Wisconsin do that?
The mine in northern Wisconsin is a long ways off, and that's not going to create the sorts of jobs that are going to be needed to boost our economy here anytime soon. So we really need to focus on more than just one sector of the economy.
Yeah. Well, what should be focused on? How do we get the economy back on track?
Well, I think we need to look at a multi-pronged approach, especially Wisconsin's strengths are agriculture and forestry are our two biggest sectors, but one of our biggest strengths is our manufacturing sector. And the great thing about Wisconsin's manufacturing sector is its diversity. So I think if we really focus on those three things, that is what's going to be the future of Wisconsin's economy. And to do that, we have to have a strong public infrastructure and educational system, and those are two things that are really lacking to help boost our economy right now.
Sounds like you've got some teenage boys who are blowing off some steam, Representative Miller.
Oh, I have a 5-year-old in the background getting ready to head off to kindergarten.
He sounds old for his age. No, I'm just kidding. Well, that's okay. Let me remind listeners that if you have a question or an issue that you would like to present to our guest lawmaker. We have another 5 minutes or so with Representative Nick Milroy, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So, Representative Milroy, what do you want Governor Walker to focus on in his State of the State address next week?
I would like to hear Governor Walker talk about working together with people to address the real issues that we have in Wisconsin, and that's a failing public infrastructure system. When I travel around the state and talk to folks about their roads and bridges and their schools, we're really falling behind, especially amongst other states here in the Midwest. And those are the sorts of things that businesses that want to relocate or are looking at expanding really care about, is, you know, whether or not they have a good public transportation system and whether or not they have good educational facilities for their children. So those are the two big issues that I think are really hamstringing Wisconsin's economy right now.
I love your kids are very boisterous. Mary Lou in Wisconsin Rapids is with us. Hi, Mary Lou.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes,
go ahead.
I'm really glad that you brought up the topic of education. I'm wondering, what is the progress of holding these voucher schools accountable? I read an article yesterday in the Wisconsin State Journal that there's a lot of private schools in Madison that don't even want to go for the voucher system because they don't want to have to comply to these accountability measures. So I'm wondering, has there been any progress made? If they're getting state money, they should have to be following the guidelines of the public schools. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I know we'll talk more about the accountability issue with our guest after the news, State Senator Luther Olson. That's an issue that's important to him, too. But what about that, Representative Milroy?
Well, I think that's an extremely important issue. If taxpayers of Wisconsin are going to be paying for individuals to go to private schools, there should be the same accountability standards as public schools. And the fact of the matter is, right now, there's not. Even I know private schools all around the state are very leery about joining a system where they might have to have the same standards as the public school. The same thing happened in my neck of the woods here. So I just, I think it's tremendously important that they have the same standards. But even bigger than that is the fact that now we're creating two public educational systems. We can't even afford to fund one public educational system properly. And it's just really, to me, absurd that we are going to split the way that we educate our children and have two systems that are going to be competing for limited resources.
Thanks to Mary Lou. Jane in Kenosha is with us. Hi, Jane.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. In today's Kenosha News, there was an article that is being proposed to make the work week a 7-day work week. This is being brought through with the manufacturing commerce people, and I'm wondering what your view on this is.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, that bill would remove a provision in state law that requires a 24-hour break, I believe, so you wouldn't be working 7 days straight. Would you be in support, or would you oppose the changing of state law for that, Representative Milroy?
I have not seen that bill, but it certainly doesn't sound like a good idea to me to, continue to push and push and push the average working person.
Representative Milroy, did we lose you?
No, I'm here.
Okay. All right, so you don't think that you haven't looked at the bill, but you're wary.
Exactly.
Yeah. We have Jimmy on Facebook who says, we must have redistricting reform. We need public hearings and debates before we run out of time before the next census. I've contacted my legislators and committee members, but I'm worried that Republican leaders will prevent public hearings on this issue despite strong support from the public. What do you think about redistricting reform?
I'm in favor of redistricting reform, but the fact of the matter is, unless there's enough people that get out there and really yell from the rooftops that we need it, it's just simply not going to happen. The deal with redistricting is the party in power has the ability to keep a system that is in their favor. So without a real strong public backlash, it's going to be real difficult to pass any redistricting reform.
Yeah. In our final minute with you, the Superior region sometimes feels as though it's a forgotten part of the state. Are there issues or an issue up there that isn't getting the attention it deserves?
Well, we've been dealing with the loss of tax reciprocity between the states of Wisconsin and Minnesota, and I represent a border community. We have a large metropolitan area here in the Twin Ports, and we have a lot of folks that have to file taxes in both states and file two tax returns. It creates a lot more paperwork. It's difficult for people to keep track of what state they pay certain taxes in, and it's something that worked well for years, and it's an easy fix, and it's something that needs to be done.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Nick Milroy, Democratic State Representative from South Range. We'll check news, and then we'll talk with two other state lawmakers after the news. We are hearing from state lawmakers about legislative priorities for 2014 during this edition of our State Capitol Report. In our last half hour, we heard from a Democratic state representative from South Range in the northwest corner of the state, Nick Milroy, and a Democratic state representative from Kenosha, the far southeastern corner of the state, Todd Onstad. In this half hour, we will hear from a Republican and a Democratic state senator. And you too. What do you think is the most important issue facing Wisconsin? What do you or don't you want the legislature focusing on? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Monday, January 13th. Our next guest lawmaker is Luther Olson, a Republican state senator from Ripon. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thank you so much for being with us. Well, what is the most important issue for your district in 2014?
Well, I think the jobs and the economy, of course, have always been the number one issue because we need to get more people back to work or working in better high-paying jobs. And so that is one of the things I think that the state really, really needs to concentrate on. And it's sort of interesting because, you know, we our job growth is what we'd like it to do. We're not meeting what the governor said he wanted to meet in his election. But at the same time, I hear that we're going to have an increase in state revenue here being announced at the end of this month, higher than we thought, which means that people are either making more money or more people working or spending more. So it's sort of an interesting dilemma.
Yeah, well, that is. So what more can the state do to try to encourage more job growth?
Well, I think the thing that it was interesting, we had the WEDIC folks in front of Joint Finance last week, and they were talking about how that process is working. And one of the things that they talked about is that the companies that they're working with really aren't so much interested in low-interest loans because they can get those from the banks, and we're not going to compete with the banks. One of the things they were looking for is tax credits. And I was watching a news show the other day, well, I've seen it a couple times, that the state of California was bragging that if you start a new business in the state of California, you don't pay any income taxes for 10 years. So they're out hustling to get businesses, and that's what we need to do in the state of Wisconsin is make this a place that is more friendly toward businesses. And I don't mean by that saying, okay, you just run over us and take advantage of the state and take advantage of our resources, but make it so that we can work hand in hand with them to develop their businesses.
We had a caller in our last half hour who was concerned about voucher school accountability. What's the status of the voucher school accountability bill that you were working on?
I'm glad you asked that question. We started working on that at the beginning of the session, and it is a important bill that we're moving forward with. And it deals also with voucher school accountability, charter school accountability, and public school accountability. And so we had the first draft out there, had a hearing on it, and people felt that it was a little vague. There was a little too much in the report card. And also the sanctions and the ability to stay in business as a school that is failing was too long. So we have shortened those deadlines, and we are going to be meeting with the folks my staff and myself, meeting with some of the folks in the assembly this week to compare notes and see where we are. We think we have something that is fair, is a report card that shows a true picture of what's happening with the school, but also has serious consequences if you are running a school, private, public, charter, and charters are public, that for 3 years have been in the lowest level where you have students that you don't have hardly any of them that are proficient in math and English language arts. And so our goal is to have this passed this session when, as you know, the session is relatively short.
Yes. Also, charter school advocates, I'm reading, are pushing for a plan to expand charter schools statewide. Is this something that you want to happen in 2014?
Well, we have charter schools statewide. Most of the charter schools statewide are authorized by the local school board. What this bill would do that's over in the assembly now would be saying that if a school district said, no, we are not going to authorize this charter school, there would be another authorizer out there, either a technical college or a four-year institution or a CESA that could authorize those students. And as the problem that I see with this is we're going to wind up paying for three school systems in our state, the public, the charters, which would, like I say, are they're still public, but they're a different type of school, and the voucher or private schools. And I'm not sure we have enough money to do all three.
So besides the school accountability bill that you would like to be acted on this short session, what else is the Senate going to do? I read it's not taking up things like the speed limit or anti-abortion bills. What else is the Senate going to do?
Well, there's a lot of bills that are in the hopper that legislators have, our senators are working on. I can just name some of the few ones that we have. We have a bill that will not let you aid a felon that's in your family. Right now, if you aid and abet a felon, person who's committed a felony who's in your immediate family, you don't get prosecuted. We have a bill that's been around for a number of years. We're hoping to get that passed. We have a bill, and these are all, you know, important bills, but they're not headline-shaking bills. One, dealing with vulnerable users. There's vulnerable users on our highways that when they use the road legally and get hit by a car or a truck, the car or the truck doesn't really have too much damage, but the person, the vulnerable user, i.e. the walker or the bicyclist or things like that, could get the person on a farm implement, could get seriously injured. And we are going to want to increase the penalties for hitting a vulnerable user. There's a bill out there that deals with people getting to register a deeds bill, we call it, which is a bill that right now there are people, companies who are sending people saying, you know, we see you bought a house. Would you like us to send one, get your deed in the mail, and just send us a check for $89 and we'll get that for you? Well, you can go to the the registry deeds and get it for $2 or $3 or $4. And so they're really ripping off the people, and we're just having a bill that deals with some of those things. We have a bill out there. We call it the wine tasting bill. Right now we have a lot of vineyards in Wisconsin really increasing the number of those, and they're producing wine, but they are not allowed to give away samples at trade shows, i.e. like when the Restaurant Association or the Hotel Association or the Tavern League has a trade show. Brewers can go and say, okay, here, we'll just try a little bit of our beer or whatever. The wine folks can't, and this would just make that legal. Most people don't realize that. We also have a bill that deals with when children are killed or die. There, in some counties, there is a committee that looks at that and keeps those records and looks and saying, is there a trend in child deaths? We are just expanding that so they can work together, because we have found that by keeping that data and looking at what happened here, sometimes we can make some changes, recommendations, laws that will reduce those child deaths. So that's something that we're working on. So there's lots and lots of bills. There's the animal husbandry vehicle bill out there. There's, like I say, lots of bills that are pretty much nonpartisan that just need to get done.
I had no idea. We'll have to do more on some of these issues. Governor Walker will give his State of the State next week. What do you think the State of the State is? What are you going to be listening for?
Well, I'm interested in what he is proposing the last few weeks of the session, because, of course, I think we'll be done at the end of March, and so then everybody will be going home campaigning. But I want to see what he views as a state of the state. And every governor, normally, except when we're in the recession, said to say the state of the state is fine. It is. It's good. It's moving forward. But so is the rest of the country. And so we're going to have to move, march forward even faster if we're going to compete in the country and in the world for education, for jobs, for job training, and things like that. So I'm curious on what ideas, and he's talked about changing the tax structure in the state of Wisconsin, making it more fair, I would guess, more lucrative for folks who earn money. But at the same time, we have to have dollars for running government. And so it's going to be interesting to hear what he has to say on those things.
We appreciate your time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joy.
Luther Olson, Republican State Senator from Ripon. We will welcome in Democratic State Senator Jennifer Schilling in just a moment. This is the State Capitol Report here on the Ideas Network. And we conclude our State Capitol roundup of state lawmakers with a Democratic state senator from La Crosse, Jennifer Schilling. And again, if you have any questions or reactions for her, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And Senator Schilling, thanks very much for being with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what is the most important issue, according to you, facing Wisconsin?
Well, Wisconsin has always been a national leader, and we have lost ground in 2013 under Governor Walker when it comes to job creation, education, and health care access. And so I think many people in Wisconsin, they are working harder for less money, and they are worried about their own economic security. We have fallen to 37th nationally in job creation, and there are far too many people across our state who still do not have jobs. So I certainly think that we need to have our number one priority be job creation in this kind of shortened legislative floor period that we will have in 2014. Massive tax breaks for out-of-state corporations and the wealthy, it has not really worked, and it has shifted that tax burden further onto middle-class families and local small businesses. So while we are scheduled to be in January, February, and March, and the governor will have his State of the State address, where I anticipate he will probably talk about some of the recent job and worker training bills that he has signed into law, we still have bills that are common sense job creation, economic development bills that are have been introduced in committees that have not had a hearing. And one of them is the Made in America Act, which would prevent Wisconsin jobs from being outsourced to countries like China and India by giving American companies the first shot at state contracts and building projects here in the state. And I think really this bill is a no-brainer, one that should pass immediately to protect Wisconsin workers and improve our economic outlook.
What is your reaction to Senator Glenn Grothman's bill that's in the news over the weekend about allowing workers to work a seven-day work week in Wisconsin?
Well, again, I think that that is not something that people that I represent and I talk to in Western Wisconsin, they want to make sure that they have a job 5 days a week, that they want to make sure that they have access to worker training, that the technical schools have access to grants and programs to try to invest and try to lessen the wait line and waiting list to get into these high demand programs, if it's in welding and other manufacturing, or if it's in healthcare. So we certainly need to take a look at how we can improve the anemic economic job numbers here in the state. The governor had said that he wanted to create 250,000 jobs, and we are nowhere near that. And so that really is, I think, his Achilles heel as we head into fall of 2014, and that we need to be taking a look at continuing to strengthen our economy and looking at some other areas that middle-class families are concerned with.
We just talked with Senator Luther Olson, who is working on the Voucher Schools Accountability Bill, also a public school and charter school accountability bill, and he hopes to have that pass this session. I know that you're very interested in that issue as well. Are you pleased with where this accountability bill is going?
Well, along with Senator John Layman, we have co-authored a pretty reasonable proposal to make sure that some of the same basic accountability standards that apply to our public schools also apply to our private voucher schools that are accepting millions in taxpayer funding. And our bill would prevent fraud, it would strengthen academic standards, and it holds down costs for taxpayers. Some of the criteria that we're looking at is voucher schools would need to hire licensed teachers. They would need to conduct background checks on all staff. They would have to meet graduation standards and certify that their facility has been inspected and meets building codes. The school needs to be located in Wisconsin. So most of our private schools already meet these requirements, but Republicans have continued to oppose some of these voucher accountability and anti-fraud measures since, vouchers have now become, the law of the land in this most recent budget. So I hope that Governor Walker and Republican legislators, including my friend and my colleague, Representative Olson, who I serve on the Joint Finance Committee, that I hope that we are able to maybe look at some of the ideas that the Democrats also have and incorporate that in the bill that Senator Olson is moving forward with.
Willem in Colfax is with us. Hi, Willem. You're on the air.
Hi. I live in an area where there's been a big boom in sand mining, and I think it has a negative effect on other businesses, tourism, things like that. We live close to the, 90 miles from the Twin Cities, a huge population, people who often come to this part of the state for recreation. And I think this mining activity is, if I was a young person, I certainly wouldn't want to move to an area where sand mining is a booming activity. And I'm concerned about this Senate Bill 349, Assembly Bill 476, which in effect would strip control of local town boards and the county boards to regulate sand mining. And one of the provisions in that bill was, this is an example of the intent of this bill, I think, which is to allow sand mining to, to continue without too much regulation. It would be that the town or the county government would have to prove that damage to the roads was done willfully or intentionally or as a result of an unlawful act.
Yeah. Willem, I'm sorry, just because we have very limited time, what do you think of that bill, Senator Schilling?
Well, that bill Senator Tiffany introduced late last year and kind of rolled out with a lot of, you know, a big bang and hoopla, and I think it was found during the hearing and afterwards meeting with different groups and local elected officials that there were a lot of possible unintended or intended consequences, and that that bill really was not ready for prime time, that there's been, I hope, some discussion to try to improve and mitigate some of the problems that our local officials had with local usurping local control on this. It is not scheduled on for the Senate later this week, and I don't know, we are in next week, and I don't know if it would be on the calendar for next week, but I do know that Senator Tiffany heard the criticism and that he wanted to go back and try to rework it, and so we'll see what solution comes from that. But at the get-go, there were some large concerns, and I heard from many of my local elected officials about their opposition to that bill.
What's your reaction to the selection of the new president of the University of Wisconsin system, Ray Cross?
Well, I am very happy for Chancellor Ray Cross, soon to be President Ray Cross. I have worked with him quite a bit. I've served on the Assembly Committee of Higher Education of Universities and Technical Colleges in the Senate. I serve on that same committee, and being on the Joint Finance Committee, he's come before us as well. And I think he is an effective communicator. He is respected by people on both sides of the aisle, and he has shown that he has a strong vision for the program that he currently leads, but then going forward for UW system, and that leadership I think will really help repair some damaged relationships that the legislature has with the university system. So there's been a disconnect on one end of State Street to the other end of State Street, and I think President Cross will be that right person to repair that and move the UW system forward in a very effective manner.
Any thoughts on what you hope to hear in Governor Walker's State of the State speech next week?
Well, I think, like I had mentioned, we'll hear about some of the most recent legislation that he has signed into law pertaining to worker training. I know he's been up in La Crosse quite a bit, and he signed a bill that I had authored and about developing capturing some federal money, using some state money and capturing some federal money to help people with disabilities get worker training and get them back into the workforce. And he toured some companies that are utilizing those dollars and utilize people with disabilities. So I think he'll talk about that and talk about, you know, it is an election year, so he probably won't have too many kind of big, bold initiatives. I would be surprised because the legislature just will not be in session too much of 2014 to enact those. But I think he'll recap 2013, of course, where the state has been when he first took over and what has happened in the last several years with his administration and with him at the helm.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jennifer Schilling is a Democratic state senator from La Crosse. Thanks go out to all of our state lawmakers during this edition of our State Capitol Report. We also heard from Republican State Senator Luther Olson of Ripon. We heard from Democratic State Representative Nick Milroy from South Range and Democratic State Representative Todd Onstad from Kenosha. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this hour. Thanks to Robin Cherry for on-air production, and thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air direction. Thank you for listening. We'll do this again during our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.